Welcome to Opens Here. My name is Greg Horn. I'm going to ask you a question. Are you content? And I think most of us are honest. We're not. Or maybe we are in 90% of the areas of our life. But maybe there's one area that we're not. And I know that that is kind of just part of the battle of being a human being on this planet. Yet I think God really wants to help us be content. And I read the passage, and I know that a lot of you, if you've been followers of Jesus for a while, you've read the passage in Philippians, and you probably for sure, if you've been a follower of Jesus for any length of time, know Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Yet, I heard a pastor say recently, he was talking about that verse, and he said, you know, if I'm honest, most of the times when I say that verse, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, maybe I'm kind of grinding my teeth a little bit because it's just a challenging season, and man, I'm just trying to give it everything I have just to survive, and I'm just grinding. And yet he said, if you read verses 11 and 12, it doesn't really seem like Paul's doing that, even though he writes so many of his letters from prison. And, of course, he's been shipwrecked. He's been beaten. He's been pelted. He's been hungry. He's been naked. I mean, he's been shipwrecked. I mean, the guy's been through a lot. But when you read those first two verses in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, doesn't sound like a guy that's really grinding, stressed out, so to speak. And I want to read all three of those verses, but with 11 and 12 in front of it now, and see if you notice the peace and content that's in Paul's life when he writes this. Paul says, "For I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret to living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or with little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And so, obviously, there's times we do have to grind in life, and God helps us do that. But I also love in those verses 11 and 12 in chapter 4 that he just talks about, hey, I've learned to be content with whatever I've got. And that's why I ask you the question, are you content? And don't get me wrong, I'm all for goal setting. I'm a type A personality, and you know, we're over 22,000 podcasts listened to and 20 months of doing Hope Is Here, and I want to be at 25,000 by Thanksgiving, and because I know, one, that we're helping more people when that many people do it, and yet if we don't get it, I'll be disappointed, but I hope I'll be content. But I want to encourage you, maybe you're like, hey, I've been meaning to share a podcast or one of these programs that I heard live on the radio or I saw on Facebook or Twitter. And I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today, and do that. Or also follow us on Podbean. You can do that or iTunes, and maybe give us a recommendation, a testimonial there, a review saying how much you've enjoyed the program. Just have been so blessed lately to run into some people at out in public and just saying, hey, I've heard your program. I've really been blessed by that, and just appreciate people that financially help make this possible so we can do this ministry. It's much more than just a radio program and podcast, but if you'd like to be a part of helping bring hope to people all throughout Central Kentucky and through our podcast internationally, I want to encourage you to go to our website, hopeishere.today. You can make a secure online donation, or there's a mailing address where you can mail a check, make that out to Hope Is Here Ministries. All donations are tax deductible. We are a 501(c). So I want to encourage you to do that and help us out. Would really, really appreciate that. I want to thank the people that are already doing that now, some on a regular monthly basis, some do it quarterly, some just do it as the Lord leads, or they get a bonus check, or come across some unexpected blessings financially, and they share those with us here at Hope Is Here, and we really, really appreciate it. But I want to share a few quotes with you about contentment. Contentment is a mental or emotional state of satisfaction. You know, sometimes it's hard to get both of those in line to be content. we might say mentally I know I need to be content, but emotionally I'm not feeling it. And I really do believe when you are content, like Paul was talking about when we read earlier Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, that you are content both mentally and emotionally, and you're in a state of satisfaction with both and not just one. Yet that's easier said than done. I've been on both ends of that, and I tell you, really, you have to be mature in your faith, and you have to choose to do that to be able to have a state of satisfaction mentally and emotionally to be content. Also heard a quote recently, don't remember who said it, but it says, contentment is an attitude that says, I will be satisfied with what God has given me. It's powerful, isn't it? Contentment is an attitude that says, I will be satisfied with what God has given me. Another quote I heard recently by E.A. Kabatical said, happiness comes after contentment. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, well, I'll be happy if, I'll be happy when the kids are out of college. I'll be happy when I'm retired. I'll be happy when I'm married. I'll be happy when I get that job promotion. I'll be happy when I get a new car. I'll be happy when the kids are out of diapers. I mean, the list goes on and on. I'll be happy when I lose 20 pounds. But I like that quote, happiness comes after contentment. Benjamin Franklin, a lot of people are familiar with him, one of our founding fathers here in the United States, but he had a quote I really liked that says, contentment makes poor men rich, and discontent makes rich men poor. And I would echo that, that not always, but a lot of times I have seen people that are very well-to-do, wealthy, but they aren't very content. And yet I've seen other people that by the United States standards really are not that prosperous, yet they're very content. They're thankful for what God has provided for them through their jobs and through their efforts from the fruits of their labor. And they're very content, even though they may not live in the biggest house or drive the most expensive car. Yet there's a contentment and peace they have that the Bible talks about, a peace that passes all understanding. I also saw a quote by Rob Kuban that I really liked. He said, the Bible calls us to allow our convictions, not our circumstances, to govern our sense of contentment. True biblical contentment is a conviction, not condemnation, that Jesus' power, purpose, and provision is sufficient for every circumstance in our life. That's powerful. I'll read that one more time. The Bible calls us to allow our convictions, not our circumstances, to govern our senses of contentment. True biblical contentment is a conviction, not condemnation, that Jesus' power, purpose, and provision is sufficient for every circumstance in our life. And when you really grow and mature in your faith in Jesus, that kind of like my Aunt Wanda said, when unfortunately at 64, she took her last breath, which was way, way too young, had been in great health, and then fortunately got diagnosed with cancer and was gone, I believe, in about 2-3 months. And she told her precious children, my cousins who were good friends of mine, that even though I don't always understand God, I trust God. And there was a contentment and a peace in her life, even though she didn't want to leave her precious husband and children and grandchildren. And yet she just said, you know, I don't understand God. I trust him. And that's when you know you really, really are content. And I talked there earlier about that quote from Rob Kuban about, you know, true biblical contentment is a conviction that Jesus' power, purpose, and provision are sufficient enough for every circumstance in my life. Well, I tell you, sometimes I think the enemy twists that word conviction, and we hear condemnation. Though conviction's when God, you know, he's letting us know, hey, I've got something better for you that's not healthy for you, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, and he convicts you. But he doesn't condemn you. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Some of you, maybe that needs to be a verse you write on a post-it note, stick in your bathroom mirror, on your refrigerator, in the dashboard of your car, your cubicle at work, on your laptop, maybe in your wallet or purse. But there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're hearing something about you're stupid or you're ugly or, you know, you'll never make a difference, you'll never change, that's hopeless. I mean, anything like that, that's condemnation. That's not from God. And yet some of us, maybe if we had a very overbearing or critical father or mother, a lot of times we see God as that type of our Heavenly Father like that, and feel like we're being condemned a lot when we're not. It could be conviction. And the Lord does convict us sometimes because He wants better for us. And so I want you to make sure you run that through the filter sometimes when you hear a voice. Is that God convicting me because He wants something better for me? Or is that from the enemy? Is that condemnation that I'm a loser, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm short, you know, I'm too tall, I'm too skinny, I mean, you know, I'm poor, whatever it is. And yet, those type of words, that's condemnation, that's from the enemy. And so there is a big difference, and yet God will provide enough power, purpose, and provision for every circumstance in our life, and we can be content. So I know some of you are listening, and you're thinking, Greg, man, I've read a lot of what Paul's written. I mean, he wrote the most books in the New Testament, and I love his faith, and I wish I could say that I am content like that, but I'm just being honest, Greg, I'm not. I'm not there yet. And you know what? That's okay. But I want to share three things with you. I'll get into the first one today, get started on it. Won't be able to get it finished, but then I've got two others I'll share tomorrow about how we can be content like Paul. And the very first thing, to me, it's not an exhaustive list, but one of the things that I know helps me, the first thing is it all starts with your daily mindset choice. It all starts with your daily mindset choice. I've shared with you numerous times on Hope Is Here that Joyce Meyer's book, The Battlefield of the Mind, is one of my top 10 all-time favorite books. I read it about 20 years ago when I was going through the flood, bankruptcy, divorce, lost my home, and somebody recommended that book to me, and I read it from cover to cover, highlighted 70% of it because there's so many nuggets of wisdom in there, good scripture. And yet I saw recently at a bookstore that they've revised it recently, the book The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer, and it's now sold over 4 million copies. So that's one that you need to get. I want to encourage you, if you're looking for a good book to read or a gift to give somebody struggling, check out The Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. I think you really, really be blessed. Well, we're out of time, but I would encourage you to tune in tomorrow. Maybe invite a friend to join us or check out this podcast. If you tuned in late, you're like, you know, I really want to be content in my life, Greg. I really want to be like Paul. Want to remind you, go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today, and catch this full 14-minute program. But I want to encourage you to join us again tomorrow as we'll continue this first point and two other points about how I can be like Paul and be content in my one and only life. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.